Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community. Well, I just wanted to say thank you to CFRI for letting me be a part of this conference. I'm really, really thankful, and it's been really inspiring to see this group of people come together, and this has been really eye-opening and really wonderful, and I really enjoyed my time here. And I wanted to thank Proteostasis Therapeutics for sponsoring this lunch. And we'll get started. So I'm going to talk about my journey with cystic fibrosis, and that's going to include running adversity and CF, and just how I have the experiences that I've had and how I've lived up until this point. My name is Sabrina Walker. I'm 32 years old. I have cystic fibrosis. I am a cancer survivor. I am a wife and a mother, and I run. I was born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska, and I am a quarter Tlingit Indian, which is a tribe in Alaska. And these are all pieces of my life that I identify with and are important to me and have helped create the puzzle pieces of my story. And I believe we all have identities and we all have things that build us and break us and help us grow. I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis when I was 4 years old. I'm double Delta F508. And if you don't know, cystic fibrosis is not common in the Alaska Native or Native American population unless you have enough Caucasian in you to carry the genes. So my mom is half Caucasian, so she had enough in her to create me to have CF. And when I was diagnosed, I was told that I wouldn't live past the age of 8. And here I am, which I feel is a huge accomplishment in itself. So as I grew up, my parents didn't tell me that I couldn't do something. They always wanted me to live an active lifestyle. They believed that it helped with my airway clearance. They were huge influences in my life, and they were positive, and they encouraged me to live life and experience it. And they tried to get me involved in all kinds of sports like soccer and ballet and running and cross-country skiing and do all of that. They never let me believe I couldn't do something because I have CF. So in 2005, I was in high school, and I started experiencing back pains. And I went to the doctor, and they thought, "Oh, well, you pulled a muscle. You're too young to have, you know, problems like this. It's just something simple. It'll go away." And it didn't go away. And the pain started becoming more frequent. And every time I would bend over, I would have shooting pains down my legs. And then I started losing the feeling in my right foot. And then I started losing weight really rapidly. And I went back to the doctor and I said, "Something's not right." So they did an x-ray and found a tumor on my lower lumbar of my spine. And they said, "Well, you're really young. It's probably not it's benign, but we'll remove the tumor." And so in that process, they did a biopsy and found that I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is not a typical spot for lymphoma. Lymphoma is usually in your lymph nodes, but this was, for some reason, it grew on my spine, and we don't know why. It was just a very abnormal thing. But I ended up going through 4 months of chemotherapy. I lost my hair. Instead of going to college, and I watched my friends and my boyfriend all go away, and I had to deal with this and cystic fibrosis, and I felt that the world was really unfair and unforgiving, and it was a really hard time in my life. But I went through 1 month of radiation after that, and this year it'll be 13 years that I've been cancer-free, and I've gotten through that point. Yes. As time moves on, it gets a little further away each year, but I'll never forget how much that point in time impacted me and taught me to be a stronger person and cope with things that the average person doesn't always deal with at such a young age. And so, these hard times really help build us up. So after that, I decided that I wanted to go to college. I was cancer-free. What can I do with my life? I still have cystic fibrosis, which is something that I was dealing with too. But I decided to go to school, and I went to the University of Colorado at Denver. And I graduated with my degree in elementary education. I would later learn that that's not the career path that I want to take because it's a classroom full of germs. And going into it, my parents asked me, "Are you sure that's the decision you want to make?" And I was like, "Yes, I'm going to be a teacher." And then later on, I learned myself that that probably wasn't the best idea. But I did it, and I got through it, and I had lived in the dorms, and I had to explain to my roommates all the weird pills that I took and all the medicines that I had to take. And I grew up and I learned how to be a person outside of my parents' house. I learned to be a person and grow up and live life. And you live with your parents for so long and they help you in so many ways. And then when you go on to be independent, it's kind of a reality check. And I think for me, it was important to see and appreciate how much my parents actually did for me until they let me fly free. I met my husband in high school. We dated very briefly in high school, and then after I graduated, we started dating again. And in 2011, after I graduated from college, he proposed to me at the end of the Run to Breathe race in New York City. He tied the ring to his shoelace, and at the end of the race, I wanted to go for a walk, and that was the last thing that I wanted to do. And so he convinced me to go for a walk, and he proposed to me, and it was one of the best moments of my life. He's been instrumental in my huge support system, and I can't imagine my life without him. But we have been married since December of 2011. I met him when I was about 14 years old. So we've known each other a very long time. He knew that I had CF, but in high school I didn't tell a lot of people. I was embarrassed to tell people that I was different, that I had CF. And looking back, I wish that I wasn't so embarrassed about it and that I could have explained to people and taught them the difference, the differences and the awareness about it all. But instead, it was like this, people were like, "Oh, she has a disease and she might die when she's younger." And no one really knew. It was just this kind of a secret. And looking back, it wasn't the right approach. But my husband has known me and he's known the struggles I've gone through for almost, 16 years now? He's been by my side, so I'm very grateful for that. On March 16, 2015, we had a baby boy, and his name is Leo Jordan Walker. He's now 3 years old. He's being occupied by a little show right now, so he's in his cave. I'll talk a little bit about that later because, there's, as social media has come about, I've learned more about women with CF who have children. But, as we get older, we're approaching life and having families and getting married and going to college. And we're learning about all the things that we can, our abilities as people living with CF. And so having a child was one of the most miraculous things to ever happen to me. And I'm very grateful that I get to have that experience. So I'm going to talk about how running has impacted my life. I Exercise has been a great source of stress relief for me. It's been a great form of airway clearance. It has really helped my lungs, and I'm thankful because when I was younger, my parents, they didn't hold me back from anything. My dad was my PE teacher. He never said I couldn't participate in something. And if I tried to say I didn't want to do it, he said to at least try. And I would try. And in sixth grade, my mom is a recreational runner. But she took me to a track one day and she said, I want you to try to jog for 30 seconds and walk a minute, jog for 30 seconds and walk a minute for 10 minutes. And afterwards I got done and I was so mad at her. I was furious and I said, why would you make me do that? That's not nice, that's mean. And she just said, well, I feel like it works my lungs and I think that it would help you. So we still continue to do that, and there's usually some sort of bribe, like ice cream afterwards or something that would make it worth it. And my running stemmed from there. When I got into junior high, they said that I had to participate. My parents said I had to participate in a sport. And it didn't matter what it was, but I had to choose one, and I chose cross-country running. And I continued cross-country running and track and field all the way through high school. And my plan was to go to Whittier College near LA and run on their cross-country running team, but that didn't work out for me. And after cancer, I had a long several years of not running at all. I think that my soul had been kind of, it was sad, and it took a while for me to realize what was going to help me, and running was something that really ended up being a powerful tool to help me get through a lot of these anxious times that I have. And I know that everyone has a different story. Not everyone is able to run. But there's other forms of exercise, and there's all kinds of things. If it's walking or lifting weights or going to yoga or doing breathing exercises at home, I encourage anyone and everyone to try those and just push yourself a little bit. And it doesn't have to be running. It could be really any type of exercise that's going to work your lungs. Running has never been easy for me. It's been hard. Harder than others, and I try to just tell myself that this is helping me be a healthier version of myself. It's physically working my lungs. I feel like there's nothing better than actually getting air in there and really having my lungs go through all that effort, because I spit up a lot of sputum, more than the vest when I do the vest. And I know different airway clearances are going to work different for everyone, but for me that has been a huge part of my airway clearance system. Exercise is not easy and it's tough, and so I always try to tell people to set a goal. If it's walk for a minute or do a 5K or do yoga once a week or do something, I encourage people to set a goal and try to do a little more each time to try to achieve that goal. And I tell you, friends and family are your huge supporters and support systems, and they will help you get through each time. Say you don't want to go that day, you have a friend that says, I'm going to come over and we can just do the best that we can. That is instrumental. I suggest people try all different activities, because what works for some isn't going to work for others, and people really get into different things. Some people love swimming, and some people love jazzercise, and some people like ribbon dancing. There's someone I've seen that does hula hoop dancing. It's really incredible. If you just get out there and move your body and work your lungs, you really do. Like, you can really feel the difference, the impact. And just because you don't achieve something doesn't mean that you need to quit. If you do the best that you can in that moment, then you did a great job. It doesn't matter if you tried, then that's all that matters. And I encourage people to not give up. Cystic fibrosis was once pegged this childhood disease. And growing up, it was like a very grim outlook whenever I'd go to my doctor's appointments. And As I've gotten older, it's transitioned into more of an adulthood disease, and now we're learning to balance all of these complicated life factors and the progressiveness of the disease, and then also try to hold this optimism, which is incredibly hard and difficult on you mentally and physically. These are emotions and physical things that not everyone experiences, and then sometimes you just feel isolated because of it. You go through tremendous ups and downs, highs and lows, and I always say that having cystic fibrosis is like living on a roller coaster. This past November, I ran the New York City Marathon with my husband, and 5 days later, I was in the hospital with an exacerbation. So you go through these huge, huge ups and downs, and just last week I was in the ER and I was diagnosed with a pulmonary embolism. There are incredible ups and downs in this disease, and that's a really hard thing to manage. You're coping with all of these tremendous things that impact you, and you kind of think, how am I going to get through this day? How am I gonna feel happy again? I'm so scared. There's all these emotions. And I've learned that dealing with all the complexities of CF, that sometimes it's just about changing your perspective on life. And it's about, instead of I have to get up in the morning, or I have to take a shower, or I have to do my treatments, it's I get to. I get to wake up in the morning. I get to do my treatments. Not everyone has access to the care that I have. Not everyone is able to have medications to help them stay healthy. So sometimes it's just about changing your mind and changing that perspective, which is not always easy. But if you just can wake up and say, instead of I have to, I get to. I feel like that has really helped me just kind of stop for a moment and reflect and be like, okay, you know, I'm alive, I'm awake, I'm here, I get to experience this day. I know every person in the CF world has tremendous struggles and difficult times, and I'm not here to tell anyone what is the right way or the wrong way to live their life with CF and what's going to work best for them, because I'm not an expert in anyone else's life except I'm living my own life. But we all deal with these difficult issues, and we all have one thing in common, and that's cystic fibrosis. And so, I feel that living with CF is, it can be tremendously difficult and hard, and some days are just, you wake up and you're like, today's, I don't feel good, I feel terrible. You think about how is this, like, this is not fair, I'm not feeling good. But at the end of the day, all of these bad times have taught me to stand a little taller each time, to forge ahead and to say, okay, I got today, I'm going to get through it, I'm going to do everything I can to the best of my ability. And even if that's just doing your medication for the day or getting up out of bed and brushing your teeth, just being the best that, doing the best that you can for your health in that day. And I really find that holding hope in your heart is the key to it all. Don't ever let go of that hope. So this is Leo. He is the most miraculous little person to ever come into my life. There's starting to research about reproductive health in women with CF, and we know it's very complicated to have children with CF. For men and women, different issues. Adam and I knew we would like to try for a family, but we weren't sure if it would happen because of the CF. And because I had gone through chemotherapy and radiation, we didn't know if my body would be able to have a child. But we thought, well, we'll see a reproductive health specialist when the time is right. And in the meantime, we had Adam tested for the CF genes that you can test for, and it came back that he did not have any. But we thought, well, we'll wait a couple years and see what our options are for having a child. I think it was maybe a couple months later, 6 months later, it was a big surprise when I found out that I was pregnant. And it was shock because I just thought this wasn't in the cards for us unless we looked further into it with medical specialists. And so I had a fairly healthy pregnancy. I had a little, you know, most women with CF have issues with diabetes, and so I did develop that. But for the most part, I stayed active. I really, you know, I went to my CF clinic, and I went to the specialist, and when you have CF, you're high risk. So you see a high risk OBGYN. And I felt like everything was very closely monitored, and I was lucky with that. But I have to be honest that having a child and living with CF is really hard. You know, you don't know what until you have your own child. You don't know what your parents went through for you until you experience it yourself. And I'm going to say in the beginning stages, when you're trying to take care of yourself, your treatments, and just try to be healthy while having no sleep, feeding every 2 hours. You know, airway clearance, you're changing diapers, you're rocking, you're doing all these things. And it's hard. It's really hard to manage. And I really, if people in the CF community are thinking about having children, I really strongly recommend that you have a support system ready, because I've called upon them many a times. You know, my husband was very helpful, but I had my mom there, my dad there, my in-laws, my friends. I really needed all that support that I could get at that time. So if anyone has CF and thinking of having a child, I do recommend you think about that support system and how people are going to help you. And if it's them bringing a meal so you don't have to cook dinner, that is huge. But at the end of the day, this little human, this little person, has given me a purpose to fight for, a purpose bigger than just myself. You know, it's not just about me anymore. I have a little Leo that I want to watch him grow up, and I want to be there for his special moments. And I want to teach him how to live life and grow up and be humble and reach for his dreams and let him know that when he falls down, to get back up and everything will be okay. I want to be there for him. And so he is my inspiration, and why it's been running is even more important for me now. It's just one more thing I can add to my list of medical treatments that helps me feel better. And so, you know, at the end of the day, there are no excuses. It's just putting one foot in front of the other. If it's a running shoe, a walking shoe, a sandal, and just getting up there and doing the best that you can each day. You know, I would never wish to have cancer or cystic fibrosis, but I am grateful for all the life lessons that it has taught me and all the experiences. You know, not everyone has walked in my shoes and knows what I've gone through except for me. And I feel like it's taught me to embrace each day, to take the inhales and the exhales, to love and appreciate the amazing people in my life, because I have to admit that I could not have gotten through this world without my family. You know, caregivers are so huge, and as well as medical professionals, they are your team, they're in your corner, and I find it just makes my heart burst, because there are wonderful people that are standing beside us. And you know, you have to be present in each moment. And for me, I've really found value in just stopping and taking a breath and being like, okay, I'm here right now. And I am with all these wonderful people. And so I just also want to say, you know, you can't control what happens to you in life, and you can't control what's going to happen today or tomorrow. You know, the forces of life will happen, and you know, you can't control how lucky or unlucky you are, but you can control being present in the moment. And I think about it, like I said earlier, my perception is my reality, and so if I get to wake up and I get to be amongst all you wonderful people who are so pivotal in the CF world, that's amazing. This is an incredible group. And you know, I also want to say, like, holding on to that hope Don't ever, ever let go of hope. I think that's been a huge key theme throughout this whole conference is hope. And so never lose that hope. When I was a little girl, my dad hung this poster in my bedroom, in his office, on the fridge downstairs. It was everywhere. And at the time, I just, you know, you walk by it and it's not anything that you, you just walk by it every day. But now when I look at it, it has this whole new meaning because he was placing this in there and reminding me, don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. And I have held that true to this day, to never give up. And so now this poster, I look at it and I think, gosh, at the time it was so meaningless, and now it's this one of the most, like, so meaningful to look at. And I just want to, you know, I just want to remind you guys, don't give up, don't lose hope. You are all threads of hope in the cystic fibrosis community. So don't forget that. Trust in yourself. Let love and positivity fill your days. Follow your heart and do things that make you smile. Hold hope in your heart and never, ever, ever give up. Hope is something that drives us. It is the reason why I'm standing here, because I hope for a cure, and I think every single one of you does too. And I'm just gonna say, hold hope in your heart. So thank you. Thank you.